never flowed forward smoothly. There was definitely a Vitano nearby.
"Here they come,"
Lieutenant Colonel James Laverno transmitted. Not really necessary, Munn thought. The spiders had been the sole focus of the battalion's combined attention ever since they had formed up.
"Mark your targets," Munn added. "Even though they look like a solid mass, they aren't. Stay in your sectors and pick a target for every shot."
She activated the battalion's targeting program, and symbology appeared on each of the troopers' displays, showing the area each was assigned to defend. When the spiders got closer, it would change to a defensive arc. Right now, their targets were far enough away that the lines extended nearly straight out. With a thought, she armed all of her suit's weapons. The 8-foot-tall powered armor currently mounted a heavy magnetic accelerator cannon, or MAC, on her left arm, a 15mm autocannon on the right arm, and a missile pack on the right shoulder. The Tortantulas wore armor on most of their exposed surfaces, so lasers were usually a waste of time. Although it looked like a wall of spiders, there were places in the line where some of the spiders were slightly slower. Missiles arced out from across the battle line as the humans tried to break the cohesion of the Tortantula's advance. She targeted 3, and missiles leapt from her shoulders to detonate on the targeted aliens, killing them and wounding a number of other spiders in the area. The missiles also left a gap in the lines, until spiders from the following ranks sprinted forward to fill them. Unlike many races who wouldn't attack without their comrades on both sides of them to provide support, the Tortantulas didn't care. The spiders in the lead, who suddenly found themselves without their supporting squadmates, only raced faster to get among the hated enemy who had killed them. A lone Tortantula is killable, though, and the battalion's MACs, autocannons, chain guns, and heavy machine guns opened up across the front to pick them off. Unfortunately, killing huge numbers of the 10-foot-wide Tortantulas rarely stopped their advances. No matter how many you killed, they just kept coming. At least the dead aliens were big enough their corpses provided obstacles that slowed the following ranks as they had to go around. The firepower of the 170 Caspers was enormous, but they were spread out over a mile-wide front with huge cliffs on either side of the ravine. Each trooper had to cover over 30 feet of battle space. Munn knew the ravine widened behind them. They would get even more spread out when they retreated. Despite horrific casualties, the Tortantulas continued to flow forward. Humans couldn't kill them fast enough, and it was quickly apparent the humans would need to give ground, or they would be overrun. Munn had once read a historical report that said the worst thing in all of warfare was to be on the receiving end of a cavalry charge. Whoever had written that had never seen Tortantulas. The ground shook like a minor earthquake, and they seemed all but unstoppable. Worse, they hadn't even fired a round at the humans yet. It was overwhelming to see them ignore the devastation they were receiving and keep coming. And Munn had experienced it before. For the newbies, it was suit wetting time.
"Battalion, stand by to conduct a fighting withdrawal up the canyon," Lieutenant Colonel Laverno ordered.
Good, Munn thought. The officer had seen it too. She checked her rear screens. The non-combatants were at least a half mile away.
"Execute the fighting withdrawal."
Along with the rest of the battalion, she activated her jump jets, and she flew into the air to land 50 feet back from her original position. At the height of her jump, she marked 2 new targets and launched missiles at them upon landing. The icon for Private Asendai Ankh went red in her display. He was dead.